Refresh.
Hey, what's up, you guys? It's your boy, the Muffin Man, coming at you again with another episode of the Refreshed Podcast. I know it's been quite some time since we've been back together, but I am so excited to bring you the very first episode of our brand new series entitled From the Pit to the Palace, episode one being Joseph Shares His Dream. So before we jump into what we're discussing today, let's go ahead and open up in prayer, shall we? Father, I just thank you so much for what you have prepared for us today. God, I pray that you would use my lips, anoint my words. God, let it be a word that would teach us, a word that would challenge us and share with us your word and the things that you have done through the life of Joseph that we can learn to implement within our own lives. God, I pray that you would open up the hearts and the ears of your people to receive your word. It's these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So guys, today we are starting our brand new series as we dive in and examine the life of Joseph. Now, it's important to note here that we're not talking about Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. In fact, we are talking about a very different young man, and his name is Joseph. He has the same name. Now, I do want to point out that this series will probably be different from any series that we have done here in the past. And we will be taking our time going through this scripture. And it's really just because I feel like God wants to show us some important things here in the life of Joseph that we can implement for our own. And we shouldn't rush through it to have some 5-part series. And to be honest, I don't even know how many parts this series will have. But you know what? That's not important, because if God is moving and speaking and showing us new things through the life of Joseph, then Lord, take your time, right? So the scripture that we're going to be focusing on today is Genesis 37, 1 through 11. And we're going to go ahead and dive in. I'm going to read all 11 of those verses. So just follow along with me, and then we will recap in just a moment. Now, before I do read that, I do want to give you a little bit of backstory of Joseph and exactly what's going on, right? So our story starts with Joseph, and he's having a dream. Now, Joseph belongs to a pretty chaotic family. His dad had 4 wives, and between the 4 wives, there was 12 boys and 1 girl conceived. So Joseph belongs to this family of 13 members, counting himself, and he finds himself in the mix of this chaotic family dynamic. But he isn't dead last. You know, he isn't the oldest, and he isn't lost in the shuffle. And in fact, the Bible tells us that he is his dad's favorite child. His favorite child. To have a favorite child in the midst of 12 other children, it really just seems like that would cause problems, right? And oh, by the way, let me tell you the name of Joseph's father. His father is none other than Israel, formerly known as Jacob, as in Jacob and Esau, as in the children of Isaac, the son of Abraham, to give you an idea of Joseph's family lineage. Let's jump into our scripture and see exactly what's happening in verses 1 through 11 of chapter 37. And it says, "Now Jacob lived in the land where his father had sojourned, in the land of Canaan. These are the records of the generations of Jacob. Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pasturing the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah. His father's wives and Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a very colored tunic. His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, 'Please listen to this dream which I have had. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and also stood erect. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf.' Then his brother said to him, 'Are you actually going to reign over us? Are you really going to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Now, he had still another dream and related it to his brothers and said, Lo, I have still another dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. He related it to his father and to his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, What is this dream that you have had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come to bow ourselves down before you to the ground? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. So let's go ahead and just recap a little bit there. So we read here in the first two chapters, we see that in verse 2, it says that Joseph brings a bad report of his brothers to his father. Joseph's brothers had a responsibility of tending to the flock of their father, while Joseph was given the role to supervise and report if anything went sideways. And I can already imagine the conflict building between them. Why is Joseph elevated to a higher place than we are? Why are we out here in the field slaving it and working hard while he gets to sit back in the shade and watch our every movement? The moment we slack or we take a break, he's going to report it to our dad and then we'll be disciplined. Have you ever felt that way before? Maybe you've been at a job before and you're like, you know what? Today I really just don't want to work hard. And you try to take it easy, but you overlook your shoulder a little bit because you're like, oh man, what if the manager sees me? Or, oh, what if that coworker? Do you have that coworker that if you even take a break for just a moment that the coworker's like, oh, I'm going to go tell on you? You know, like maybe that's exactly how they felt in that moment, right? Verse 3 tells us that Israel loved Joseph more than his brothers because he was the son of his old age. Joseph's mom was Rachel, and Jacob, also known as Israel, right? He had that name changed. He worked 7 years to have Rachel as his wife, and his uncle Laban had deceived him at the end of that 7-year process and gave him Leah, which was the sister of Rachel. Jacob completed the week of ceremonies with her and then was giving Rachel with an additional requirement of working 7 more years for Laban, which totaled 14 years of service. Could you imagine loving somebody so much that you would be willing to work 14 years to have them as your wife? Men, take notes. I'm taking notes, you know, to love my wife so much that I would say I would work 14 years for you. It is absolutely incredible. But because of the great love for Rachel, it is very possible that Jacob was reminded by Joseph of his great love for Rachel. Because at this point, in this passage of scripture, Rachel was no longer alive. She had passed away. And, you know, if you've ever heard about Joseph or you've seen cartoons or, you know, then you've had the coloring books, then you probably know, you're probably going to know what I'm talking about in just a moment. You're probably going to feel a little on the nostalgic side or familiar with what I'm about to say. His dad presented Joseph with a gift. A coat of many colors. The beauty of this tunic, guys, wasn't alone in the colors, but it carried a symbolism. Typically, tunics that were worn were short, and it was worn out in the field. It was considered like a worksman tunic, right? You would wear it to work. But the coat that Joseph had was not a worksman tunic. In fact, the coat that he was given was long, and it went to his ankles and to his wrists. It was one that men wore that indicated that they were the watchers of the ones who did the hard physical labor. It is very possible that this coat also represented that he was going to be the one to receive the birthright. It was a coat of prestige. It was a coat of favor that his dad had given to him. Sorry, guys. I'm still here. I didn't fall asleep. Verse 4 says that his brothers saw how much more their dad loved them. Let's backtrack a little bit. I skipped a portion. It says that it was a sign of Joseph's father acknowledging the fact that he favored Joseph to a higher degree, and he approved of Joseph's role to supervise and report everything from the work that his brothers would do. So this was no just ordinary rainbow coat that Dad found at the store and thought that Joseph would love it. No, he made it with the intentions of acknowledging the favor and the love. So it was confirming everything that was seen in the sight of those around Joseph, that the favor was indeed true. The love and you know, the higher elevated status was indeed true. Verse 4 tells us that his brothers saw how much more their dad loved him, and it caused them to hate him greatly. And they couldn't even find a way to speak to him in a friendly way. Now, could you imagine never having a normal conversation with someone, much less your brother, that every time you open your mouth, it's to roast, bully, curse, annihilate with your words? Now, keep all of this in mind. This is all the first portion to set up what we are talking about today, that all of these things are going on, that this hatred and this frustration is brewing between this group of brothers and Joseph. And then it happens. Joseph had a dream. Verses 5 through 8 tells us that Joseph had a dream that God had given him, and he was so eager to speak about it with his brothers. And in the dream, he tells them about seeing a wheat stalk that belonged to him, and it stood taller, and it was healthier, and it was stronger than all of their wheat stalks that belonged to the brothers. And all of their wheat stalks had gathered around Joseph's, and they bowed down to him. Now, that's probably not a good idea to share a dream like that with brothers that already hate you, with brothers that already have animosity towards you. The brothers were not excited about this dream. And in fact, all it did was throw lighter fluid on the flame of hatred inside of their hearts. Are you actually going to reign over us? Or are you really going to rule over us? They were upset. It was a nightmare for the brothers to have to worry about their brother being in charge at work, but now for the rest of their lives and every aspect of their life. It deepened their hatred to think of Joseph holding that much more authority and power in their lives. You know, Joseph must have had a hard time reading the responses of his brothers, because instead of pulling back and saying, okay, maybe that wasn't the right time to tell these guys about what God is showing me. You know, my brothers, they genuinely hate me. Why did I think that they would receive that well? That wasn't a good idea. But that's not exactly, Joseph didn't stop and think about it before he spoke about this dream. You know, he was so ready to share, because he was like, man, you know, like, and I imagine like a lot of it had to do with the favoritism and the elevated position that his dad was pushing him towards, because he was like, man, like, I got this prestige, like, man, I got this power, like, man, I got this pride, you know, like, it just felt natural for him to want to share, like, God had given him this dream, and in this dream, you know, he saw that he was getting an even more higher elevated, you know, position. He was getting a promotion, if you would, to where he was in charge, you know, more in charge. And so I'm sure he was excited to share that without stopping and thinking about if it was the right place, the right time to share that dream, especially with his brothers that hated him. You know, and it's no doubt that this dream was given to him by God. When God begins to show us things, sometimes it's not always for us to share immediately. We must weigh out the message given in our hearts. We have to confirm that this is God speaking and ask for the appropriate time to deliver the word. But, you know, Joseph didn't do that. And that's not questioning Joseph's relationship. You know, Joseph loved the Lord, and we'll get a little bit into that in just a moment. But, you know, Joseph doesn't stop there. He begins to share with his family yet another dream. And before we talk about that dream, you know, I just want to point out that Joseph genuinely loves the Lord. We see that evidence in the entirety of his life, and we'll see it in the upcoming episodes as this series continues. He didn't share these dreams to destroy the character of his brothers. He's 17 years old. He's still learning. He hasn't fully developed wisdom. God is showing him new things in a new way. And I'm sure that there was a part of him that just wanted to share what was going on. And his family were the ones that were in the closest proximity to him to share those dreams with. And Joseph goes on in the upcoming verse to discuss his second dream with his family. Verses 9 through 11 tells us that Joseph had a dream, and in this time, there's a sun and a moon and 11 stars, and they were bowing down to him. The sun and the moon indicating that they were his parents, and the 11 stars being his other brothers. This doesn't go well with his brothers as he rebukes him. My words aren't working today, guys. Let's do that again, right? This doesn't go well with his dad as he rebukes him. And he says the same as the brothers prior. Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come to bow ourselves down before you to the ground? They were all so baffled by the dreams that Joseph was telling them about. Guys, you're going to bow down to me. Like, I seen my wheat stalk, and it was so strong, and it was so grown, and yours were so feeble. And here they are, they're gathering around mine, and they're bowing down. You know, here's the sun and the moon. Here's the 11 stars, and they're coming to me, and they're bowing down. You know, like, I'd imagine that just did not go well at all, especially with his parents. You know, because his brothers were already jealous, and they'd hated him, but his parents, you know, especially his dad, you know, because we see that, you know, his dad's the one that's speaking here. We already talked about, you know, Rachel's passed away at this point. So, you know, it doesn't really tell us that Rachel is alive, but, you know, and the importance here, because that's minor detail. The major details here is that they're baffled by the dream. You know, are you serious? Are you really, really serious? And the brothers were jealous, and the father kept saying this in his mind, that are we really going to bow to you? Now, we're going to put a pin in it right here. And I know I hate to leave you off on a cliffhanger, but I'm going to do it. If Netflix can do it to you and you keep coming back, I'm going to do it to you and you'll come back, right? Because here's the thing. While preparing this episode, I really feel like God wanted to have a takeaway from this specific passage. And that takeaway is, protect the dream God is placing inside of you. And I'm going to say that again for you. Protect the dream that God is placing inside of you. What does that look like? Well, here's the first one. The first thing to know about protecting the dream that God has placed inside of you is to understand that you may not know what the dream fully means. That we'll see later on in some of the elements from Joseph's dream do come to life. However, they don't show the in-between, you know. They don't show the journey to get to that image of the dream. It's something that Joseph probably wouldn't even imagine if happened to him when he just saw the dream of his family bowing to him. And here's the thing, is that God may be showing you something right now, and you're thinking, God, that's impossible. You know, you're seeing the end result of this dream, or God's showing you a portion. He's showing you a glimpse of this dream and what he's wanting to do in your life, but you're thinking it's impossible. Maybe you feel like the brothers, and it makes you angry. It leaves you in disbelief. But I want you to know that God is showing you a portion. He's showing you an event. He's showing you this point that you're going to reach. He's not lying to you. He's not telling you, like, hey, this is something that is so far out of your reach. Because yes, the things that God calls us to do is very much out of our reach. Like, it's something that we cannot do on our own. But in this portion of the dream, the dream is not the guide telling you, like, step by step, like, how to get here. It's saying, this is going to come to pass in your life, and if you stay obedient and you stay diligent and you're doing what you're supposed to and you be faithful, this is what you're going to arrive to. You may not know fully what that dream means, but you pray and you ask God, if this is you, and he confirms that, you hold tight to that dream. You protect the dream he's placing inside of you too. You have to keep the dream close. Keep the dream reserved. And as I mentioned earlier, that God shows us things that are sometimes only for us. God wants to minister to our hearts first. He'll prepare us for the right moment to speak, and he'll make us aware if the message he is showing us is for personal use or to be shared when the timing is right. If we prematurely share a message with somebody that wasn't ready for them to hear it or receive it, then they can very well respond just like the brothers and the parents did of Joseph, because they're not in a place yet to receive that word. They're not in a place yet to understand what's going on. And if God instructs you to speak it, then you have to trust that God's already prepared them, or they're already aware of, like, if it's a correction, like, they're already aware of what they're doing. Like, it's just confirmation, and it's just showing them. And then, yes, they may get angry. They may get bitter like the brothers and the parents. But you have to be careful that you don't speak about the dream that God is showing you prematurely, especially if it's just reserved for you. And I'll give you an example. I was in church yesterday and God had gave me an image of something that I thought was really powerful. And in that moment, I was like, why? God, like, should I share that with the congregation? You know, like, pastor's up there with the mic and he's talking. He's like, you know, he's saying something about, like, does anybody have anything they want to say? Or, you know, and then this guy came up and he gave a word. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, maybe this is for me to do that too, you know, but it wasn't. I never moved. I didn't take the initiative to step forward. So initially I was like, oh, cool. Like, that just must be the next episode for podcast. But this morning during preparation for podcast, God had shown me that the word was for me personally. It wasn't meant to be shared with a bunch of people. You know, the word that he has specifically shown me in that moment was for me on a personal level. And the third thing I'm going to leave you with protecting the dream that God has inside of you is wait until God gives you the interpretation. And this kind of goes hand in hand a little bit what I just talked about is Joseph was so quick to share what God had shown him before fully knowing what the dream meant. You know, he was like, I had two dreams and y'all are going to bow down to me. And, you know, if I went out to people and said that, they would probably have beat me up or they would look at me like I've lost my mind. We have got to let God fully download the meaning of what he's showing us before attempting to share it with those around us, because we can interpret it the wrong way and we can speak it in our own words. And if we were to speak it in our own words, then we can maybe twist the meaning and we can maybe even miss God and we can cloud our focus and we can clog our ears and we'll already think the dream means one thing when really God's like, no, this is really what I'm showing you. This is what you're showing yourself. So it's so important that we sit there and that we wait for God to give us the interpretation, that we seek out for that interpretation. You know, sometimes when God shows us things, we tend to think that it's going to happen right there in that moment. I'm sure that Joseph, because he was elevated to such a high position of authority, that he probably thought that God was preparing to give him a promotion, like within the next couple of weeks, within the next couple of months. Like, that's why he was so eager to share it. But the truth of the matter is that none of those things came to pass till way later. And you know, that doesn't mean that God is going to give us huge details whenever he's showing us like this big dream. And if he does and he gives us a play-by-play, then that's awesome. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. But if he doesn't, then hold on to what he's shown you in the dream. Believe it will come to pass and stay focused and obedient throughout the process. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for this opportunity to be together and to ponder on your word and to speak about your scripture. God, we thank you for a glimpse of your servant, Joseph. Lord, we know that although Joseph had moments where, you know, he didn't think before he spoke, he loved you and he had a heart that was so faithful and so committed to you. God, we know that his suffering, you know, and his persecution from his brothers was brutal and it was harsh, but it was not in vain and you used it for your glory. God, I pray that if there's anybody listening today that is facing that kind of persecution, that there are people around them who just absolutely hate them, I pray that you would help them to walk through that hatred. God, that you would help them to remember that they have favor with their Father, and that is you, King Jesus. Lord, I ask that this word today, that you would help us to remember to protect the dream that you are placing inside of us. God, that you would help us to wait for the interpretation of the message that you're downloading into our spirit. God, that you would help us to hold tightly to that dream. Lord, to seek your face and ask you if it's something meant to keep personal or to share with those around us. God, and I pray that you would help us to understand that we may not know what the dream means fully, but God, that doesn't discredit the dream because we don't know what it means right away. So God, I pray today that you would help preserve what you're doing in our lives. Help us to hold dearly to it. Help us not to sell it or give it up. But Lord, help us not to run away from it or push it away because we are impatient and we don't know what it means. Lord, help us not to be afraid of the dream that you're placing inside of us, Lord. Help us to fully embrace what you're wanting to do in our lives. God, we love you and we thank you and we give you the highest praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Refresh Podcasts, where Christ goes before us so we can give you another refreshing word. This has been your boy, the Muffin Man, saying keep it fresh, have a good day, and God bless. I love you guys. Come back for that episode too, from the pit to the palace, as we continue talking about our buddy Joseph and we see exactly what happens next. You do not want to miss it. It's going to be good stuff, guys. Don't go read ahead. Don't get no spoilers for yourself. If you already know how the story plays out, don't spoil it for anybody else, right?